Good morning. We're glad to be here this morning. Hope and pray that that you've come looking to, for a blessing from God. Pray that you'll, if you haven't been praying for the services, start now and pray throughout the time that we're gathered together. That the Lord would bless us. Last Sunday, we talked about some things, and I told the congregation here. I usually try to, first of the year, my mind usually turns to some things to challenge us for a new year, and something that I think might be a good thought. Maybe I'd always trust that's, you know, that's from the Lord. That's where my thoughts on these kind of things come from. But in the fourth chapter of the book of James, it tells us there to draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Now, there's more that I could read there in that whole chapter. I think I started in the first verse last Sunday, but I'll not go back to that point again today. But as I look around the world that we're living in today, and I look and say, we all want things to be better, right? I mean, We wonder sometimes. I know we wonder what's happening to our country and what's happening to our churches. And sometimes people look around the Primitive Baptist Church and say, "Well, the churches seem to be going down." You know, well, I talk to people in the community, and it seems like churches everywhere are going down. It's not just one particular denominational group or another. You know, and some of us don't have a lot of room to move from, and it might hurt in some places worse than others. But there's a lot of things that are going on, and people don't seem to be happy with where we are as a nation, a country, our churches, our personal lives. So what's the problem, right? I mean that's really what we well. What's the problem? Our problem is we're not drawing nigh to God. We're not getting, what do you mean, drawing nigh to God? Okay, we're not getting close to God. The Bible says if you get close to Him, if you'll allow me, I'm not trying to change the words, but to make sure we understand the words, if we get close to Him, He'll get close to us. And so if we're drawing nigh to Him or getting close to Him, He says He will get close to us. And then He tells us to draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse. Boy, I love this. When you think about how the writer was blessed to write, and what God gave him to benefit us today, he starts out. I said I wasn't going to do this, but see, I'm going to now. He says, if we go back above verse 8. And I'll just go a couple of verses, I hope. Then I hope we'll get on. I really wasn't planning on preaching in the fourth chapter of the book of James this morning. So I wanted to mention this and move on to some other things. But let's look at it. He says, but He giveth more grace. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain? I'm back up in 5 now. That the Spirit dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. Now, if you go back and look over the Old Testament, I had fun playing around with this looking last night. The word, and because the word that I was looking at and trying to focus on a little bit last night, I wanted to know, how do we get faith? How do we come into favor with God? Isn't that something we'd all like to know? We want to know, how do I have favor with God? So I'm looking at the word favor. And I found out the word that's translated favor in the Old Testament means grace. At least one of the words that's translated favor means grace. And so then you think about this. He says, He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. Boy, there's a whole theme here through this portion of the fourth chapter of the book of James that's telling me the way you get out of favor with God, one way, is you move away from God. Another way you get out of favor or out of the, don't misinterpret my words. I know when I'm speaking here and it's being recorded and somebody goes and listens to this thing later, I hope, somewhere in some place. You know, when I say we get out of favor with God, we get out of God's grace. Not talking eternally, right? Y'all, we know what we believe here about the grace of God and the fact that we're saved by grace. But we can get out of God's grace or blessings in a timely sense here while we're living in this old world. So we don't want to get out of favor or out of God's gracious blessings in our day-to-day life. And we do that when we move away from God. We also do that when we get pride. Pride eats us up. God resisteth the proud. He giveth grace to the humble. God doesn't want to see you coming arrogantly to Him or to each other.
Right.
He doesn't want to see His pride mounting up and saying, well, what is pride? Boy, there's about 1,000 things you could go, and this is not my subject either this morning. Pride causes you not... Okay, pride is the opposite of being humble, right? Mm-hmm. So when we need to forgive, what keeps you from forgiving somebody? Pride. God humbles you to get down to the say, I can forgive. I can move on. I can get over this. Why? By God's grace, I can do it. Not that I could personally just say, well, you know, I just forget all about this. We don't ever forget a lot of things, right? But we do get move on in our lives because God causes us to humble ourselves. And pride keeps us from going down on our knees and saying, God, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to get rid of this issue, that problem that I have, which carries right on down into this, right? He says, for God, He giveth more grace. Wherefore, He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Humble yourselves and submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. I mean, we got this little... I was telling somebody this week, you know, I hate to say it, you know, maybe it's education or whatever that I had somewhere along the way, but a lot of times, if I'm taking notes on something, I take notes in bullet form. Everybody know what I mean? You got your little bullets out there, numbers, A, B, C, D, whatever, dot, 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 you know, on the page. I'm taking my notes on things like that. Well, I think that way, too, sometimes. It's a flaw in my character or whatever, you know, one of the many that I have. But if you're thinking in bullet form, He's given us an outline here of some things. He says, God resists the proud. Oh boy, I need to write that one down. God, He gives grace to the humble. I want to know that. Okay? Resist the devil. That's a good reminder. I need to write that one down. Resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Boy, I better put that one out there, a little dash out beside that. Resist the devil, and he'll move on. I need to know these things, don't you? All right? And he says, draw nigh to God. Resist the devil, he will flee. Draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. Now then, what is it that keeps us from drawing nigh to God? Cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, here in the book of James, I think in chapter 1, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, you know, you ever ask somebody a question, they say, no, wait, I'm not sure. This guy's mixed up. Yeah, you ask him a question, he's got 5 answers, and all of them conflict with each other. Guy's double-minded. You know, double-minded man. Let's put it in context of this now, okay? I want to come to church because I want to draw nigh to God. I leave church, I don't want to do what God's Word says. I don't want to humble myself. I go around being proud and arrogant. Wait a minute. You said you wanted to draw nigh to God, and now you're doing everything the opposite of what God's Word says. You're double-minded. See, we get to thinking sometimes a double-minded person, some guy that's got some kind of screw loose somewhere over here, somewhere, you know, that's ready for the whatever, you know. And double-minded man might be us. You're double-minded. You're saying, I love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. What does it mean to serve the Lord? It means to follow after His Word and learn to follow after Him. Yet when it comes down to day-to-day living, I say, well, I don't want to do that. Right? I love the Lord, but I don't love His Word because it gets on my toes. I love the Lord. I believe He's Savior, but I don't want to do things the way He says to do them. Because if I do, I'm drawing nigh to God. And when I draw nigh to God, God gets close to me. Now, boy, there's a lot of this, right? Cleanse your hands, because what is it gets us in trouble, right? I kind of hinted at this last week. Your hands can get you in trouble. Touch not, taste not. You know, all those things that you shouldn't be doing. Sometimes you're already there in your mind, but I mean your hands reach out and grab and touch and do and do. You know, all these things. You cleanse your hands. Get the wrong things out of your hands. You know, if we could learn, just get the wrong things out of our hands, it would keep us from drawing away from God. Okay? Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Because where does it all start? It all starts with a heart problem. Now, I can't change out a hard and stony heart and make it a heart of flesh. God does that when you're born again, okay? He can change out the old heart. He can do heart surgery that I can't do, okay? But I'll tell you, once He's changed out your heart and give you a heart of feeling and a heart of flesh and a heart of understanding of God's Word, our job is to purify our hearts, get our hearts thinking about the right thing, put the right things in our hands, cleanse your hands, be afflicted and mourn. Be afflicted and mourn about what? About my sin. The things that are keeping me from drawing nigh to God. I need to be mourning about that. I don't need to be celebrating that. Now, some people, they don't mourn. They just wake up with a hangover, you know, and say, boy, I sure do feel bad. I'm sure I'm sorry I did that. But it's not really that they're sorry. It's the way they feel that makes them, you know, that way. Be afflicted and mourn ahead of time. Cleanse your hands. Be afflicted and mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So he lays out a whole assembly of things here. Really, all I was going to read this morning was go back and read, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. But there's some things there around that verse that tell us what keeps us from drawing nigh to God and what things we need to be doing to draw close to Him. We need to be humbling ourselves, because when we put ourselves behind and put God in the forefront, and see, God is more important than me. God is doing and following after Him, and His Word is more important than what Charles Kitchens wants to do. It's more important than what you want to do. And when we see that, it'll cause us to draw closer to Him, closer to His teaching, closer to the things of God. And as we do, then suddenly we find Him there next to us. Now, okay, so with that said, let's turn back over to the Old Testament. Let's turn to a couple of Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 35. Let's turn to Psalm 35. And let's take a look at a portion of Scripture there. There's a lot of good teaching in Psalm 35. If you have a desire to read the whole thing, I would commend you to do that. But I'm going to start at verse 12 and just dive into a place here. He says, what is he that desireth life and loveth? What is man? What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? What kind of man is it that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? What kind of man is this? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I, I think I preached on that one time, about seeking peace and pursuing it. You know, it's one thing to desire peace. It's a whole other thing to seek peace and pursue after it. You know, Brother Austin likes to go deer hunting, I think. And, you know, it's one thing to desire to have deer meat. Brother Todd, probably some, Brother Jeremy and some others in here. You know, it's one thing to desire to have deer meat on the table. It's a whole other thing to seek it and pursue it. You've got to go out and do something. You've got to get out there and follow after something to actually put the meat on the table. And he says, depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. Man, I can talk about wanting to have peace all day long. I desire for the church to be at peace. I desire my family to be at peace. I desire for us to all be at peace. But it's a whole one thing to desire something and pursue it. What have you got to do to pursue it? That may mean you have to do some things. You may have to get out there and challenge yourself. Say, what do I have to do to make sure that if I'm the problem, what have I got to do to cure that? All right? So he says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Now, think about what we're saying, draw nigh to God. Now, I could talk a whole lot about and last Sunday afternoon, for those of you who didn't make the nursing home service, we talked about prayer. You know, even people in the nursing home, one of the things they can do is be in prayer to God. That's a close communication, a way they can draw nigh to Him by their tongue. And God has given us such a special gift of prayer that we can go to Him, pour out our hearts, tell Him where we're hurting, where we're aching, what we need, what we desire, and so forth, and communicate with Him. And when you're, I want to encourage all of us. You know, a lot of times when I'm praying here in church, I know we need to pray because there's something else coming behind prayer. But I want to encourage you in your personal life, pray to God and take some time to listen. Because what you're doing is you're having a conversation with God. And God is glad to hear our desires and our prayers. But you know what? We need to listen to the answers. We need to listen to how God is directing us in life. Okay, so he says, depart from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Now, I want to tell you, you know, the Bible says, and I love to hear people that kind of pick around various verses, you know, and get confused sometimes. But I understand that all the righteous deeds that you and I do, when it comes to having an impact in heaven, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But you know whose righteousness did have an impact in heaven for you and me? Oh, I'm telling you, the pure and perfect righteous one, Jesus Christ. Now, so when the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, it's not because you and I are good, friend. It's because Christ made you good. the eyes of the Lord are all upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. You know, we go back and look at the Old Testament scriptures. You got the children of Israel. You know, they were carried down into Babylon for 70 years because they had failed to do what God had commanded them to do. And he prophesied and he told them this was going to happen, and they still didn't repent and they still didn't turn, and they ended up in Babylon for 70 years. You know what? When the children of Israel were down there in their captivity, they began to cry out to God. And God heard their cry. Because God still loved them, even though he was punishing them. Even though God was pouring out his wrath upon them in a way, God still loved them, and he heard their cry. And he said, and he'll hear our cries. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord, listen, now this ties straight back to James chapter 4. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Who is the Lord is nigh. I play with the words. I like to emphasize the words of the Bible. The Bible tells us, draw nigh to God. God will draw nigh to you. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. You say, well, I want to know how to be close to God. God is close to them that are humble, contrite, and of a poor spirit, right? All right, so I want to be closer to God. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Put yourself, lay yourself aside and put God in the forefront. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Boy, now if I wanted to remember something sometime, I'd want to remember that verse. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Everybody's like, you know, become a child, you know, I say become a child of God, that's probably bad terminology, but, you know, as God has born us of the Spirit of God and we get close to God, you know, you want to do those things. And some people will almost tell you, well, you do that, it's like your problems are just go away. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. God will deliver you out of your afflictions. You say, well, I want to be delivered now. God may not deliver you now. God's going to deliver me out of all my afflictions. If it doesn't happen right here in this world, God's going to deliver me out of all my afflictions, my friends. I've gotten to the age and the point where I'm not trying to rush it, but I can look forward to it. I'm on the, you know, Martin Luther King, when he made his famous speeches, you know, he said he'd been to the mountaintop and he'd seen the other side. Whew. If you look at life as a journey, if you think of the mountaintop being some of the peak point of, say, the mid-range of your life, I'm over the mountaintop. I've seen the other side. And I can rejoice in knowing that God will deliver me out of all my afflictions. Whatever trials I suffer through here, it is but for a brief time. For life is just a vapor. So he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Now that's actually a prophecy of Christ. And so forth. So, the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, I'm not quite through with this terminology of drawing nigh, but I want to turn over and get to a verse of Scripture. Turn to Isaiah chapter 66. See, if you haven't got this one underlined, I encourage you, if you do that. Some people think it's blasphemy to underline in your Bible. I think it helps me find the verses that I need to find, or I want to find when I'm trying to find them. I have no problem with that. Highlight them, underline them, whatever you need to do that assists you in finding what you want to find in the Word of God. I say go for it and do it, okay? In Isaiah chapter 66, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Where is anything you could build for me? The earth is heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Where is there anything that you could build that could possibly house me? All right. For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man, you want to know what gets God's attention? I'm fixing to tell you. And I say, I'm just going to read you God's word. I'm going to tell you by God's word. You want to get God's attention? Here he says, but to this man will I look. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at the word of God. Now, you're not going to tremble at the word of God if you're not saying, not only do I believe it and respect it, but I'm going to do that. Am I going to do it if I'm grading on a scale? You know, and you say, did you do God's word 100% of the time? Oh, no, I probably didn't quite get there. But he's looking for us to get to put it as an important part of our lives and put it at the forefront. Okay? And so, you know, we might not do 100%, but we're trying. And, you know, I won't even put a percentage on what's good. I'll say the best you can do is the best you can do. And we ought to always be trying to do better at following after God's word. So he says, to this man will I look, even to him that is of poor and a contrite spirit and trembleth at the word of God. Again, there's those words again. Tremble, contrite, poor in spirit. Humbleth himself. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Humble yourself and God will draw close to you. It's all about not going around being puffed up and trying to be arrogant and trying to be prideful and so forth. It's all about putting his word at the forefront of our lives. Okay, Psalm 145. Psalm 145, I love this one too. We could read the whole psalm again; it'd be great. But he says this. Let's start with verse 10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Boy, is that what we've been talking about lately? Now, I hold my hand up and say guilty. Sometimes I'm not talking about God's kingdom. I ought to be talking about God's kingdom more. I ought to be talking about God's word more. But he says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of thy glory, of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power. I hope when we talk about God, and when we're praying, we're not praying and thinking about a God that's incapable of doing things, but a God who is able to deliver us from our trials, our troubles, our problems, our sins, whatever it might be, God is able. And he says, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up those that be bowed down. I tell you, you know what? I like to read that, don't you? He's encouraging us to be humble, to put away pride, to be contrite. But then he comes along and says, the Lord upholdeth them that fall and raiseth up those that be bowed down. So when I stumble and fall, God will lift me up. Boy, isn't that good to know? And when I get weighted down by the fact God is convicting me that I've failed again, and I get kind of slumped down and bowed down, God will lift me up. Oh, I tell you, these words are great. The eyes of all wait upon thee, Lord. Lord, thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. So now we've got this, God is nigh to them that are humble. God is nigh unto them that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will hear their cry. He will save them. The Lord preserveth them that love him. But all the wicked will be destroyed. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. I'll tell you again and again and again and again, God will draw nigh to you when you draw nigh to him. God will draw nigh. God is nigh to you when you're humble. God is nigh to you or close to you when you call upon his name. So people are trying to figure out, I want to have a closer walk with God. I want to feel God more closely in my life. Humble yourself. I want to feel God closer to me. How do I do that? Okay, so here we're back to bullet points again, right? Bullet point. I want to be closer to God. Humble yourself. I want to be closer to God. Call on his name. Right? So I need to be praying more. I need to be not so proud and so arrogant. And pride keeps you from repenting. You know, I get pride in my sin. You know, well, that's just the way I am. And I can't help that. Humble yourself. Submit yourself unto the Lord. Pray that God will will take away whatever it is that's afflicting you. We, all of these things we can do. And, you know, and it's, at this point, it's not like I've laid on some big, you know, insurmountable list of things that we have to do. Just humble yourself. Draw nigh to God. Pray to God more. Think about God more. God is nigh unto them that do these things, right? Okay. So, you know, we're thinking about this new year. And I want to encourage you, you want to have a bigger impact on your family. You want to have a bigger impact on your friends at school. You want to have a bigger impact on those around you. Draw nigh to God. And you don't have to do it in an arrogant and boastful way. You just personally draw nigh to God and let people see the change in you. Right? Let them see how your tongue is. Let them see how your actions are. And when they say something's different about you, you're doing some things. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the one that's helped me change who I am and helped me to change how I conduct myself. And let me see that there's glory, there's honor, there's praise in not being like the rest of the world, but being more like the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, being more like Him. That's what we need to do, right? All right, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, boy, I tell you, I was sitting there last night and I was reading some of these things and I said, and I've read Proverbs 3 before. I've preached Proverbs 3 before. But I was sitting there reading that proverb last night and I'm sitting there reading the Bible. Those of you that know I'm strange anyway, you know, because I'm a, you know, whatever. You know, I'm sitting there doing my studying. I'm sitting there in the den. The TV's going. I'm reading the Bible. And people say, how do you do that? Well, years of training is all I can tell you. You know, how do you do those things? But I'm sitting there and I'm reading the Proverbs 3 again. I reach up, grab the TV thing, mute the TV. I said, honey, listen to this. Listen to these words. Just listen to them. And I want to encourage you, if you got your Bible, if you're just listening to me, listen to these words that are laid out here in Proverbs 3. Now, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, addresses a lot of things in his Proverbs. He says, my son, okay? But this is to God's children, all right? Whether you're a son or a daughter, okay? Frame it that way. Think that's the way you look at things in the Word of God, all right? My son, forget not my law. But let thine heart keep my commandments. Where does keeping the commandments begin? In your heart. listen at the wisdom of this man writing these things down. My son, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. If you want to be doing what God wants you to do with your feet and with your tongue and with your hands, start doing it down in your heart first. Start letting that be the way you think. And the heart is the seat of your emotions and the seat of your, I'll even say some of your thinking comes from your heart. Your mind is affected by your emotions, which comes from your heart. So let thine heart keep my commandments. Why? Right? I mean, people, you know, I've got all these choices out here of things I'm doing. Why should I do that? Okay, he tells us. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days, long life, and peace. I've been wanting some of that. How about you? Amen. God's word in your heart will not only give you long days. You say, well, Brother Charles, I'm known. This is, remember, book of Proverbs is not absolutes, okay? It's not a list of absolutes. You do this, this is the way it works out. No, it's a list of general things, right? And when I say generalities, they're I'll just leave it that way. I don't know that I can come up with a better word for saying it. These things are generally the way it happens. Now, sometimes in life, things happen. Young men get in car wrecks. For what unknown, I'm driving down the road. Somebody comes across the median, hits me head on. okay, I've been doing these things, but my life didn't go out long. We live in a sin-cursed world, friends. I was telling, I should have brought this up again. I'll ask you even now for the sermon. Continue to be in prayer for a lady that works in my office. I mentioned it Wednesday night, but all of y'all aren't here on Wednesday night. Over the holidays, her three-month-old grandson died of a sudden, what do you call it, sudden infant death syndrome. And she's just crushed. She's a good Christian lady, but she's struggling with, you know, this happened to me and my family, my daughter, and it hurts. And he's just big enough, you know, to start having personality and seeing some things and laughing. And so keep her in your prayers. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days, long life. Peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. I don't know about y'all, but do you often think, one, I want God's mercy. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. But you know what? Who am I being merciful to? Don't let mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't lose being merciful. I know God's been merciful to me, a sinner, don't you? Amen. I know. God's grace and salvation are all about mercy for me. And for you and for us and for all of God's children, it's all about God's mercy. So don't let mercy forsake thee and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Lord, remember to remind me to be merciful to other people, because you know what? It's all by grace that I'm saved. And so shouldn't I then be gracious to other people? They're just sinners just like me. And if God could forgive me, a sinner, then surely I can forgive others in this life that I'm living. Bind it upon, bind it about your neck. Write it upon the table of thine heart. Why do you write it on the table of your heart? Same reason you write the command. You keep the commandments down in your heart to start with. Because the heart is where everything comes from for us. We got to get it right down in our heart first by thinking about God's word, following his commandments, remembering mercy is something ought to be more abounding in my life. Not harshness and unforgiveness. Mercy ought to be more abounding in my life. So, okay. So, here's this. I'm finally to my subject, right? Finding favor with God. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. How are you going to have favor with God and man? By putting God's word down in your heart, his commandments. By letting mercy and truth forsake you. By writing them upon your heart. When you begin to put mercy down in yourself and being more humble yourself and recognizing this about other people, that they need mercy from you just like you need grace and mercy from them, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. I want God's favor, don't you? I want God's favor. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Yep, just right. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Trust the Lord with all your heart. What do I mean, trust the Lord with all my heart? What does God's word say? Trust him. When he says, this is what you do, do it. That's trusting God. I'm not waiting for this voice, you know, to come out of heaven. He did that back in the Old Testament. He doesn't do that anymore. I can tell you in my life, probably the only time, and I'll be careful as I say this, so you understand, I've never heard an audible voice from heaven. Okay? Never. And the only time maybe twice. There's two times in my life I felt God truly speak to me. I mean, almost like I heard a voice down inside of me. One was when he told me he was calling me into the ministry. And the other one was one day when I was about to leave this church building before I ever joined here. And God told me this was where he wanted me to be. Okay? That's two times that I know I've he spoke into my heart where I knew that was him. Because I'm one case, I was looking around thinking, what was that? And there wasn't no audible voice there, okay? Trust the Lord. What does it mean to trust the Lord? Trust His Word. God's Word is truth. So follow after it. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Your heart will lead you astray. Your heart will lead you astray unless you've written the right things in there. Mercy and truth and His commandments. Write those things in your heart because your heart naturally leads you in the wrong direction. You'll desire to do things that this old natural man wants to do, not what God wants you to do. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him.
This would be a whole string of things. I don't even need to get too far down this, but there's a whole string of things I could think about. Today, people, everything from how you discipline children in your families, in your schools, or whatever else it might be, everybody's come up to their own understanding of how this should be done. God's Word's got a way of it being done. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord and apply it rightly. Apply it rightly. Some people have misapplied God's Word in trying to do God's Word. They put man's way into it and misused. But He says, trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You want God to direct you? Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Acknowledge Him in marriage. Acknowledge Him in raising a family. Acknowledge Him on the job. Acknowledge Him in the way you talk. Acknowledge Him in what you do. And you do that by going back to God's Word and saying, God's Word is right. Whether I understand it all or not, it's still right. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways. He shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Don't get to thinking too much of yourself. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You want to have a closer walk with God? Humble yourself. Trust God's Word. You'll find favor with God in doing that. And you'll find God, you'll find Him. I've made the comment, some of y'all have heard me. About 2 years ago, I discovered these really nice, they're like hiking socks or whatever. But, if you go to the sporting goods store, they've got these things, smart wool. Yeah, smart, these wool, hunters, y'all probably know about this, hikers and all that, smart wool. Well, I'm telling you, you want to make my feet feel good at the end of the day? Come home and slip on a pair of them smart wool socks and my tennis shoes, and my feet just go, right? And it's just like the best, it's so comfortable, right? When we really get close to God, it's just like putting on that warm pair of socks. And that cozy pair, it feels like the best friend in your life has just walked up and put his arm around you because you've drawn nigh to him. He'll draw nigh to you. Oh, I tell you, it becomes sweet. And you begin to see joy and happiness, not in what the world says is joy and happiness, but what God's a peace that comes to you from knowing God's Word is living out in your life. And though, as the saying goes, the world may be going, in a handbasket out there somewhere, right? You've got a peace about where you are and your family and what you're doing because God's Word is abiding down in you. Let's take that on as our challenge this year, that we're going to draw nigh to God to find, and we want to find, is that bad to say? If I'm a child, in which I am of the Heavenly Father. But if I'm a child, I want to find favor with mom and dad, right? I want favor with mom and dad because there's blessings come from that
hopefully. And you know, I want to find favor with my Heavenly Father because I know blessings come from Him. I can't guarantee earthly fathers and mothers. I can guarantee the Heavenly Father because His word's truth. May God bless you is our prayer.